This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to talk about COVID-19 testing. In order to relax shelter-in-place policies, we need the ability to do massive testing. Some people will need to be tested over and over again. You know, we needed this months ago, but most of the country is not testing nearly enough. Over the past week in the United States, the number of tests added has averaged 147,000 a day when we need to be testing 2 million to 3 million a week. This is according to Greg Gonslaves, assistant professor of epidemiology at the Yale School of Public Health. Yesterday, Senator Chuck Schumer tweeted that Democrats are laying out a $30 billion plan for a comprehensive testing strategy and major new investments to bolster the supply chain. The plan would also expand free testing for all. But why is it taking so long? Well, joining us now is Dr. Dina Grayson. Dina Grayson is a medical doctor and researcher who spent years developing a medical treatment for Ebola. Hi, Dr. Grayson. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Dr. Grayson, we had you on, I think it was now 2 months ago, and at that time you said we need testing, testing, testing. What has really changed in the last 2 months, Dr. Grayson?
Well, we have some testing, and, you know, I've been screaming for testing since January. I mean, I saw this pandemic coming a mile away back in December and, you know, screamed for testing in January, and the administration completely dropped the ball. But, you know, here we are. We now have testing, but unfortunately, the testing capacity is far below what we need. I mean, far below. We can't, you know, the estimates that you were just mentioning earlier of 2 to 3 million tests per week, I mean, that's what we need basically to test those suspected of having the disease. That's nowhere close to what we need to even start considering reopening the country.
Okay, so do you agree then with Greg Gonsalves? He has a piece in The Nation about the importance of testing. He says we need 2 to 3 million a week. What do you think we need?
I think we need 2 million tests a day. I mean, look, you're talking 2 to 3 million tests per week puts you in that range of being able to test, you know, basically everyone that is suspected of having an infection or close to that. Okay. But that doesn't help you reopen because we know that asymptomatic spread of this virus is critical so that people who have no symptoms whatsoever, never get symptoms, spread the virus. We also know, and now there's new information, and again, it's you know, we're learning something new about this brand new virus, you know, basically every day. But we also know that people who become symptomatic, oftentimes they appear to be the most contagious a couple of days before they ever show a symptom. So what does that tell you? It tells you need to test, retest. And where we've seen places be effective in really shutting down the spread of this virus, the number one thing that they all have in common is they test very aggressively. And one case that's, I think, really important for us to look at is this town, this small little town, 3,000 people, in the middle of the hot zone in northern Italy. So this one little town, Vo, they actually adopted a very aggressive testing program of everyone, including, and importantly, asymptomatic younger people. And as soon as they found someone positive, they quarantined that person right away. Mm. And they actually had zero transmission. And they were surrounded by complete hot zone because they were super aggressive of test, retest. Now, right now, the testing is needed because we want to know what are the true numbers. I mean, and we have a directional idea, but some states are better than others at testing. It's very frustrating. And, you know, once the cases hopefully ramp down as we continue with our physical distancing measures, then we need to really ramp up testing much more aggressively. Again, with every frontline worker, every transit worker before they go on a shift, every first responder, police officer, ambulance drivers, medics, paramedics, everybody needs to be tested before every shift because it doesn't matter that they don't have symptoms. I mean, right now we can't even test those that are known to have symptoms. That the doctor says, you have COVID-19, they can't get a test. So we are nowhere close to where we need to be. It's not even close.
To your point about Vaux in Italy, there was a piece in The Guardian about this last month. It says, in one Italian town, we showed mass testing could eradicate the coronavirus. And the authors, two Italians, say in the first round of testing, 89 people tested positive. In the second round, the number dropped to 6. They remained in isolation. In this way, we managed to eradicate the coronavirus from Vaux, achieving a 100% recovery rate for those previously infected while recording no further cases of transmission. So, Dr. Grayson, what kind of tests did they get in Vaux, and how were they able to do this so quickly?
Well, what was a special case, right? It's a small village, 3,000 people, and they got, you know, initially people were not really super excited about it, but they were testing for the virus. Now what they're doing in Vaux is they're actually doing what's called a serologic test, which is getting a blood from folks to see if they have antibodies to the virus, because that will tell you, okay, who had the virus? Well, we never potentially tested them for the actual virus, but they've cleared it and are now potentially immune. And that's you know, sort of after the fact to see, well, how widespread was infection. But, it, you know, and on a larger scale here in the U.S., you know, look, your listeners, everyone listening, you know, where do you go to get a coronavirus test? How accessible is it? I mean, in Florida, it's not very accessible. That's where I'm at. Where do I get a test? I mean, I'm a doctor. I have friends that are actively seeing patients. They can't get tested for their own patients. And that is a major, major problem. We need this to be more ubiquitous than your neighborhood coffee store. We need drive-through testing in places where most folks drive cars. We need walk-up testing in urban centers. Before you get on the subway, before you enter the subway station, you got to get a coronavirus test. Because otherwise, as soon as we let our foot off the brake with this virus, and again, even assuming some seasonality, that hopefully infections will die down a little bit as summer approaches, we're still, even that's a best case scenario, we're still looking at the fall. And I've been saying this for months, Rose, is that second wave is going to be worse, because we're going to have the full flu season for that virus, for this deadly coronavirus to circulate. And we are nowhere close to where we need to be with respect to testing capacity. I mean, nowhere close. We need to up our game by, 20-fold a day, at least.
So, Dr. Grayson, what will it take to drastically increase testing in the United States? What changes would you like to see? Because, you know, we're getting this tweet from Senator Chuck Schumer that the Democrats have a $30 billion plan for a comprehensive testing strategy. And yet you've got the Democrats and the Republicans, the Small Business Association says that all of the loans, there are no more loans and people need money. I mean, why is it taking so long? We're now in April, a month of shelter in place in California. So what changes would you like to see?
Well, unfortunately, the biggest single word answer to what needs to be done and what's missing is we're missing leadership. Okay, we have no leadership at the federal level. I mean, you watch Mr. Trump's propaganda conferences every day, which I actually try to watch, and it's painful because it's all about him. And not talking about the many, many thousands of Americans who have died. And, and he's been asked about testing, and he says we don't need testing. Well, these same small business leaders who are, running out of cash, right? We now have employment numbers that look to potentially now be exceeding 20%. We're in Great Depression levels of unemployment. I mean, this is unbelievable in 4 weeks. And, the small business loan program, no surprise, is completely out of cash. And those same small business leaders and big business leaders, they're the ones saying that, Mr. Trump, we need testing. If you want to open that economy, we've got to have testing. I mean, Mr. Trump can't force governors to reopen. I think we've got a lot of good leadership at the state level, but the state governors, they don't have the power of the federal government to, for example, enact the Defense Production Act yesterday. Again, I've been screaming for this for months, to ramp up production of tests. But it's not just the tests. You also need the personal protective equipment for the workers that are going to be getting those, collecting the samples. We also need to ramp up production of simple things like swabs, cotton swabs to take the samples. We need a full hands on deck to do this, and it's not happening. And the problem is, and I'm going to keep screaming about this, because we do have a little bit of time here, hopefully, in the next couple months over summer, but we need to enact this yesterday so that when September, October rolls around, if we really want to open things back up, and look, I want to as well. No one wants to live under quarantine. No one wants to see tens of millions of our fellow Americans out of work. I mean, we all want to get back to our normal life, but it's going to be a while before we do that. But the only way we can come anywhere close, the only way, that path has to have testing, testing, retesting. And when I say 2 to 3 million tests a day, I think that's a conservative number. I think the real number is much, much higher. Mm.
The other thing is, Dr. Grayson, I've been watching these conferences too, and Trump constantly says the United States is testing more people than anyone in the world, which according to Vox, that's not true. I mean, you've got Germany, Italy, Canada, South Korea testing more per million people than the United States. We're hearing about shortages of swabs. In California, the problem we had is that the labs weren't really talking to each other, so there was a hodgepodge of testing going on. So when you get down to the nitty-gritty, when it comes to the swabs, the labs, the database right. that needs all of this information in one place where we can find it, how do we implement those changes as soon as possible?
Leadership. We need a coronavirus czar, just like we had the H1N1 outbreak under President Obama's leadership. Within 6 weeks, we had conducted 1 million tests. Okay, brand new virus. Within 6 weeks here, we didn't even have a test. We didn't even have a test, available. It's just a total lack of leadership. You have to have, number one, a commitment by the federal government that testing is critical. That's the first thing. And we don't have that right now, which is crazy talk. So we first need Mr. Trump to realize, look, he doesn't want tests to happen, I believe, very likely, because he knows the numbers are way higher than being reported. And it makes him look bad because he failed to act. And he's more worried about his own political future, which is just crazy, because the reality is that, look, you can't spin death. People are dying and they're going to continue to die. And our way out of this, that path is definitely led by testing. So we need federal leadership. I'm thrilled that Chuck Schumer and Leader Pelosi, no surprise, are listening to the scientists. And the scientists and the physicians that are experts like me and others have been screaming for testing, because it's very clear. And you can look around the world at multiple examples around the world where countries got their hand around this. South Korea is a prime example. South Korea had a huge outbreak from this church, thousands of people. And what did they do and by the way, South Korea and the United States each had our first case diagnosed on the exact same day. Right. Okay? Think about that. Exact same day. And yet within one week, they had their first coronavirus test approved by their regulatory authorities, kind of the equivalent of our CDC FDA. Okay? So they rolled out, everyone's heard now about their drive-through testing. They're super aggressive about it. They have a website, like you mentioned, where all the data are collated so people know, hey, this is the general neighborhood of where somebody's positive. They're on self-quarantine. We have nothing like that. I mean, we have these other non-governmental groups that have been doing great work to try to collate and get all the data on, how many tests are being conducted a day. But no one really knows. I mean, this is nuts. This is just a total void and failure of leadership. And as a consequence, Rose, I mean, look, this isn't a political thing. This is life or death. And the total inaction and failure to step up and lead and follow the scientists is leading to people dying. And not just one or two. We're talking many, many thousands of Americans are dying. And it's not going to get any better unless, the administration gets their act together and faces the music. We need testing.
Today, we're speaking with Dr. Dena Grayson, a medical doctor and researcher who spent years developing a medical treatment for Ebola. If you have any questions for Dr. Grayson, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. According to Johns Hopkins University's Coronavirus Resource Center, there are now 641,000 confirmed COVID cases in the United States, 31,590 deaths in the United States. Let's hear from David in Berkeley. Hi, David. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you, Rose. One of the things of the mortal medical history of older people seems to be the cost-benefit analysis that a lot of the R systems use to determine what an acceptable level of loss of life is. I was talking to Morgan Stanley, local CEO, and our testing systems for the tests are Corporate Diagnostics and LabCorp. He said that they're 3 to 5 times less expensive than the local hospitals to do their own tests, so this is why they have this outsourcing. Hayward was part of the 43 test stations in the United States, and by March 26, they only had 250 tests analyzed. They take the tests in Hayward and they drove them across the bridge in San Mateo and San Carlos to get them done. And that takes 4 or 5 days. Now, with the Italian town you were speaking of, I was watching on Deutsche Welle, France 24. That town had about 80% elderly people. And, you know, a lot of people have preconditions. But they had armed police with automatic rifles that shut down the town. It was, you know, small roads going in and out of the town, so they could do this. And, you know, it's not something you could do here. It's, and I am noticing in our state, people are more cooperative. They understand. I have called, for instance, people in New Jersey I know, and they were guffawing some of the early shutdowns we were doing. So it's a time lag.
David, and that brings up a really important question. Dr. Grayson, we did a show yesterday about farm workers and meat processing plant workers, and I'm sure you've been covering this story and following this. We do have a very sad update. At the slaughterhouse in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, the Smithfield meat processing plant, as of yesterday, 644 workers tested positive. This is just one plant. Austin Rodriguez, 64, passed away 2 days ago after being on a ventilator for 2 weeks. South Dakota's Republican Governor Kristi Noem still refuses to implement a shelter-in-place policy in South Dakota. So, Dr. Grayson, what are your thoughts on this?
Look, it's lunacy. And again, my thoughts on this are very simple. Total failure of federal leadership. Everyone, we still don't have a nationwide lockdown, which is insanity. So when people keep talking and Mr. Trump keeps yammering away about how he's going to reopen the country, I wish somebody would ask him, hey, Mr. Trump, why did you never close down the country? Because he didn't. He never locked down the country. Never. And that's why we have these states like Texas, South Dakota, and elsewhere, Missouri, which has a big cluster of cases, that never locked down. And, you know, this towing of the Republican Party line is costing human lives. That's the bottom line. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is it's a lot of these workers that are living paycheck to paycheck. They are, you know, the food factory workers, grocery workers, and other workers. They aren't making millions of dollars a year. These are hardworking Americans that are, you know, again, living a lot of folks living paycheck to paycheck who are putting their lives on the line. So, you know, these workers are not getting personal protective equipment. They're not able to practice physical distancing measures at work because of the nature of the way the factories are configured. They stand elbow to elbow. And no surprise, once one person gets infected in these factories, the virus spreads like wildfire. And now what's happening is not just these poor souls that are, you know, that are suffering and even dying. Now it's putting the, you know, food supply chain at risk because people are being, frankly, stupid. And it's just, again, a lack of leadership. And this is where, you know, Mr. Trump, Trump keeps claiming he's going to reopen a country he never shut down.
We should also
say, thing, by the way,
oh, go ahead.
One other important point here, the true burden, okay, is the reality is had shutdowns, lockdowns occurred just two weeks earlier, 90% of the projected deaths, that's 90% of, we're talking, that's 54 plus thousand American lives that could have been saved. That's a lot of people.
Wow. That came from a study or some research, right, Dr. Grayson? Where did that come from?
That is correct. And this is looking at the effect of lockdowns. And there have been several studies published in, high quality journals, including Science, looking at the impact of lockdowns. And remember, this virus spreads exponentially. And it's thought that its ability to spread is measured by a number called an R0. I don't know. It's R0. It looks like R0. It's called R0. Now, typical seasonal flu, that's about 1.3, 1.4, which means for each person infected, they can infect about 1.3 people on average. Okay? And for this deadly coronavirus, that number is 3. So each person who's infected is thought to be able to spread the virus to about 3 people on average. That difference between 1.3 and 3, right, Rose? That doesn't sound like a lot. But now do 10 rounds of infection. So that first person that gets infected with seasonal flu, that leads to 14 new cases. For this coronavirus, that first person gets infected, do 10 rounds of infection, that's 59,000 new cases.
Wow.
That is why we need tests, retests. Because you missed that first person who got infected, but if you can get the next round, the 3 people, that could save many thousands of lives. So this concept of not having enough testing, we don't need testing, is lunacy. Testing is absolutely central to our strategy to keep this virus in check and save lives.
And Dr. Grayson, I just found it. The study that you're citing about the United States could have prevented 90% of deaths by shutting down 2 weeks earlier. This is from epidemiologists Britta Jewell of Imperial College London and Nicholas Jewell of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, and they wrote a New York Times op-ed on Tuesday about this. Dr. Grayson, we're almost out of time. Where do we go from here? I mean, here in California, Governor Newsom recently announced that before we start talking about relaxing shelter in place, as you said, we need massive testing. So again, what can, the average citizen do to demand more testing?
Call your legislators, call your senators. Obviously, in California, we've got a lot of great, two wonderful senators and a lot of great legislators. But for those listeners who are living in red districts or in red states, you got to call, and it's calls, don't tweet, call. Flood those offices with calls. Flood those answering machines with calls and emails and even written letters. Those will move the needle because, look, the business people, Trump will listen to the business people. He's motivated by money and donors. The business people are telling him, you need tests. But we need the money and for testing, which the Republicans need to get their act in order, and get in line here. This is not a partisan issue. Life and death is not partisan. This is a human issue. It's we're talking American lives. That is something very tangible that every listener can do. And encourage your relatives, especially in red states, your relatives and friends, if they're on board with this, get them to keep calling their legislators, their senators, call every day until we get testing, because that is our path out of this. That is our path to saving American lives.
Dr. Grayson, real quick, we have a question from Rachel. We only have about 10 or 20 seconds. She said, I've heard that 6 feet may not be sufficient distance. What do you recommend?
Stay home. That's the safest distance. This virus is very contagious. 6 feet was the initial recommendations. It does look like with things like singing and other activities that where there's forcible exhalation that you can catch the virus from even further away. That's why the CDC is now recommending that people wear face coverings, not to protect yourself, but to protect other people from you. But otherwise, stay home.
Well, Dr. Grayson, thank you so much for joining us. And again, we'd love to have you back in the near future. Thanks for all of your work.
Rose, thanks for everything you're doing. I'm happy to join. Thank you again.
Thank you. And thank you so much for joining us. This is your call.